What he was going to tell you about was, and we're going to work on that and get it fixed. We're going to continue talking about the story. We're planning on, as a congregation, the elders have decided, and all 2013, we're going to be studying together the story. And everyone is going to have, each age group is going to have their own Bible. This is for teens, and we have for other people as well. And every week we're going to try to show you a video. And especially in December, we're going to pump it up and talk about it more. You'll see more videos in December on it. But we're going to do a 40 days of prayer starting next Sunday. And you'll receive emails and to pray daily for this adventure that we're going to be going on together. And the wonderful thing is we're all going to be doing the same thing, studying the same thing for 31 weeks together. And it's going to be a wonderful time. January 6th is the date we're going to distribute the books. They are free. They are for everybody. I don't want just a couple to get one book. It's for man and woman, for everybody. So, and then January 13th, we will begin on that day. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing for our congregation to go through. It has blessed so many congregations that have done it. There are these fathers who were in, this is in the 50s, and the fathers were in the waiting room while their wives were giving birth. And the several fathers were sitting there nervously waiting, worrying about, you know, the health of their wife, the health of the child. First nurse comes in. She says, "Congratulations, you've just had twins." And this guy says, "Hey, what a coincidence. I work for the Minnesota Twins." A little bit later, another nurse comes in. "Hey, congratulations, you've had triplets." This guy said, "Hey, what a coincidence. I work for 3M. Amazing." And this other guy that was sitting there with him fainted, passed out. And he started crying. When he awoke, he started crying. And they're like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" He's, "I knew I should have taken that job at 7-Up. Worrying. What are you worrying about today? What do most people worry about? Well, about six things that most people worry about. I would say number one for most people is relationships. We worry about our marriages. We worry about our children. We worry about friendships, coworkers, all those things. A lot of us worry about the future, especially in our way the economy is going, where, you know, the next 4 years, a lot of people are concerned about the future. Obviously, for money, for job security, for health. We are worrywarts, aren't we? We worry about things. And I don't think you can pick a gender here that worries. I think both men and women worry just as much. In fact, I would say sometimes men worry more than women do. They just won't show it, won't talk about it much. But they are concerned about the way things are going in their lives. Today I want to talk about two things. Why do we worry? And how do we stop worrying? And a lot of you are going to say, "No, that's just not possible. I can't stop doing it." Well, yes, you can if you choose to. And that's what it boils down to, is a choice. Are you going to choose to stop worrying? As we continue in the Sermon on the Mount, this is a very interesting passage Jesus addresses. So let's pray together as we start today. Father, we're very touched by that song we sang together, and we are awed at your beauty, Father. And we can't wait to see you face to face. And we thank you for your grace that you extend to us. We are so unworthy. We thank you today that that you're in control, that you are on the throne. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible for you. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus taught about this topic of worrying, because I confess in my own life, Lord, I have worried a lot unnecessarily about things. And I pray that you will forgive me of my unbelief and my not willing to put things in your control. So today, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will teach us as we talk about this topic that is so dear to each of us. We ask in the strong and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I cannot tell you how many college devotionals I've been to where I've heard this very text. It is a text that we are all very familiar with, but yet we don't practice. Why is that? Well, let's think about what he says first. Jesus says, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, you need to ask yourself, what is it there for? Because he's talking about what he has just previously talked about. He says, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you will drink. And right before that, he says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is saying, if you understand who is Lord of your life, who is the priority of your life? If Jesus Christ is first, he's saying, therefore, you should not worry about anything. If Jesus Christ is in control and he's Lord of your life, you should not be worrying, is what he's telling us. So in context, it's interesting how he goes from the topic of money and who is God of our lives, money or him, and he goes right into worrying, because it's interesting how money and worrying go together many times. We worry about security. We worry about the future. We worry about our jobs. And he's saying, don't worry about your life. He's talking here about priorities. And it's interesting that do not be anxious, do not worry, is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's something he wants us to do. And he's encouraging us today to allow him to control our lives, which is the biggest struggle we have as human beings, is surrendering our life to him. The word anxious is a very interesting word. It means to be divided in your mind. In other words, to be a person that's double-minded. James says, a double-minded person is unstable in all they do. Boy, that is a great explanation of a worrywart. They're unstable. They're divided in their mind. They don't have any, they're not focused on one thing. They got many different things going on in their hearts and their minds. They are worrying about things. And he says they are double-minded people. Jesus says there's three areas that we should not worry about in this text. And I find it interesting that he chooses these three topics, because this basically covers all of our ground here. He says, first of all, do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about the relationships, the struggles that you're having with people, the problems in your home, all those things. He said, let me take care of it. Let me help you. Do not be anxious about your needs. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And do not be anxious about the future. In other words, anxious about tomorrow. So he covers the whole spectrum of our lives in one paragraph. Very interesting how he does this. So let's talk about first, why do we worry? Why do we worry? Well, there's five things here, basically, and we'll run through these very quickly. But I think, first of all, we live in a self-sufficient, independent culture that we are taught from childhood to rely on ourselves, to be independent. And I think this breeds a tendency to worry because we realize it all depends on me. It all depends on what I'm going to do. And I found it interesting living in Tanzania, East Africa, that people that should be worrying about things were not. Africans have a different perspective on life, a different perspective on culture. They are interdependent on each other. They're not independent like us. They rely on each other for food, for comfort, for everything. And so for an African to sit there and to worry about things, yeah, they will worry about things, but I have seen Africans pray fervently for things that I would not pray for. A lot of them, for example, struggle with day-to-day food. We don't sometimes know if we're going to have food on the table that night. And I have watched them pray fervently, asking God to feed them today. But I've never seen them stressed out, on Prozac, full of depression. They go on with their lives because I think they understand there's nothing I can do about it. I have to depend on God. And I would often tell them, you know, you have a lot more faith than I do. You have a lot more faith because you're depending on God. In my culture, I struggle with wanting to do it myself. So I think we worry, first of all, because of our culture. Secondly, we are in a hurry and we seek to do too much in our multitasking world that we live in. I think worrying comes when we got too many things on the plate, too many things going on at the same time. And I don't know about you, but you know, I love the list. Give me the list. What am I supposed to do today? You know, dot, 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 dot. And we get stressed out and we start to worry because we got too many things going on. And I think that's because we have unrealistic expectations of ourselves. We put too much on us. Thirdly, why people worry is I think our media feeds it. We have a great inclination for it, so the media takes advantage of that. When was the last time you heard a broadcast where they said, oh, and today something really great happened in Australia. There, you know, 17 churches were planted and, you know, all these people were baptized into Christ and, oh, they distributed food in Africa today. And you don't hear anything positive. It is negativity. It is things to breed that worry in us, to make us feel insecure. And by the way, that's what advertising is all about. It's all about making us feel insecure, discontent with what we have. Oh, you need to have this. Your life is just not complete until you have it. The media feeds that. People also have a habit of worrying. When I worked in the inner city in Mobile, Alabama, I remember many times observing mothers in the communities. It seems like for a lot of them, they could not have a day where there was not some drama or some problem going on in their life. It was almost like it's a habit, and I don't know how to get out of it. And for a lot of us, I think some of us create conflict to have the normal day. We wouldn't know what a day of peace looked like if we had one. Very interesting. Some people, I think, are in that mode of worrying being a habit. And I think this is very appropriate in our culture is the fact that a lot of us are just discontent and dissatisfied. You've met these people that you just, nothing is ever right. There is always something going on. And you know who I'm talking about. Don't look to your left or to your right, okay? We never feel that content. It's a constant dissatisfaction with everything. Listen to this poem written by Jason Lehman, who is 14 years old when he wrote this. It's a very powerful poem, a lot of wisdom for a 14-year-old. Listen to these words. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, right? Amen? When you're 10 years old, how old do you want to be? I want to be 20. I want to be 30. The freedom and the respect, he says. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted. The maturity and sophistication. I was middle age, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind without the limitations. My life is over, but I never got what I wanted. Because I never lived in the moment that I had. And I want to share with you, to me, that is the biggest struggle of my life for the last 46 years has been I do not live in the moment that I'm in. I am constantly concerned about the future. I'm constantly concerned about the past. I don't live in the moment. And therefore, I can't enjoy the moment. Anybody here struggle with that? I've spent a majority of my life, and it's just been the last year, 2 years, I've realized, look what I've missed. To enjoy the moment for what it is. How do we stop worrying? Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. But you have to choose it. It's a choice. You choose to worry. You and I choose to do that. First, you got to decide who's in control, you or God. Jesus says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, which will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Notice how he doesn't say, O you of no faith. He calls it little. And I'm glad he did, because my faith gets little. How about you? At times. And when it all boils down to it, worry is a faith issue. It's an issue of unbelief. It's saying, well, I've got to be in control here. I'm going to fix the problem. I'll take care of it. I don't want to bother God. God's got a universe to run. He doesn't care about my problems. Oh, yes, he does. God is deeply concerned about your life. And yes, God is watching. God is watching how we respond. And he's saying, you know, I know you're concerned about your child. I know you're worried about their future. Give them to me. I love them more than you do. Surrender your child to me. I care about your child. I care about your future. I care about your job. And the Lord says, when we try to control our lives, we are miserable people. And he's saying, let me control, let me drive in your life. People always ask me, how are you doing, Chris? I always say, God's driving. You know why I say that? It's to remind myself that he should be, not me. Because we all are control freaks when it all boils down to it. The Lord is telling us, trust me, I'll help you overcome this issue. Let me drive in your life. I have your best interest at heart. I will work everything for your good. I deeply love you. I deeply am concerned about your life. Stop worrying. It's okay. I'm in control, and I'm taking history somewhere. That's what the message of Revelation is all about. God is taking history somewhere. He's in control. So we have to decide. If we want to stop worrying, okay, decide. Okay, who's in control today? Is God going to be in control or am I going to be in control? I wake up in the morning and I ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today, but you're driving today. You just show me what you want to do. And I find myself throughout the day, when a problem comes, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Show me. I release this to you. I release my child to you. I'm worried about. I release that her to you. Decide who's in control. Secondly, God cares about your life. Oh, he does. Deeply. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. And I can imagine when he was teaching this, that birds were flying by, ravens, whatever. And he, the master teacher, the master storyteller, would pick something out and say, look at that. Look at that bird. Do they take Prozac? Are they depressed? Are they worrying about, man, I don't know where I'm going to get those worms, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. Are they stressed out? Do birds sit and congregate together and say, gee, Charlie, how many worms did you get today? I don't know. How many did you get? I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. What are we going to do next week? Do squirrels take Prozac and you know, hey, I don't have a nest for the winter. I got to get more nuts. Nature is God's greatest evangelist, Charles Spurgeon said. You know why? Look how much faith a bird has. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're not stressed out about the future. God is the one that attends the sparrow's funeral. If God cares about a bird, are you not much more valuable than they? Hey, guys, you're created in the image of God. God cares about your life. If he cares about a little bird, how much more you? You matter to him. Stop thinking that, oh, I don't want to bother the Almighty. He's got a universe. He cares about your life. Are you annoyed when your children don't come to you with their problems? I am. It bothers me when I see Sarah struggling with something and she's not going to come and talk to me about it. How much more does God desire that we come to him and say, Lord, I'm struggling, I'm frustrated, this has been a horrible day. Unload on him. Because Abba Father wants you to. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Man, Solomon must have been dressed pretty good for Jesus to say that. The point he's trying to make is God cares. He does. And just look at nature around you. We're the only worry warts. And it's all around us preaching, don't worry. The bird is saying, God will provide my food today. Squirrel, I'm not worried about the winter. Amazing how nature preaches to us. If you want to stop worrying, I think you need to understand that worrying does not accomplish one thing except causing you serious health problems. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Do you know how many ulcers? I mean, gastrologists would not even be in business today if we stopped worrying. Heart specialists, you name it, psychologists, counselors, all those things. Worrying causes serious health defects in us. Fourth, another thing to think about, too, before we get to the fourth one, is that 90% of the things that we worry about were either entirely out of our control or never came to pass. So therefore, I wasted my time worrying about that situation instead of saying, I'm just going to give this to God, and I'm going to move on and keep seeking him in my life. What does worrying do for Christians? Jesus says in the parable of the sower, he says there's four different kinds of hearts. And he says, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, they hear it, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Worrying does nothing for us other than makes us unfruitful as followers of Jesus. They choke it. They choke the life out of us. Something to think about this week. Fourthly, seek to keep God first in your life. If you want to work on the worrying department, if you have Him first and you're seeking Him first, and things begin to fall together. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. If I'm worrying and worrying about things I have absolutely no control over, then Jesus says, you're acting like a pagan. He says, but seek first His kingdom. In other words, seeking here is in the continuous tense. It is a daily thing. It is a daily struggle for us. Amen? Because we are a distracted people. It's hard to keep God first in your life. It is hard because you want to get out the list. You want to get out the checklist. What am I going to do today? Seek first His kingdom. His kingdom here means reign. God's reigning in your life, being first, in other words. His righteousness simply means His teachings, His commands found in the Word. And all these things will be given to you as well. The priority of putting God first, which is the greatest challenge for each of us. But Jesus says, if you do it, I'll take care of the rest. Trust me. And when we prioritize, I think we need to ask, is this a need or is this a want? I mean, do I really need to worry about this? Is it a need or is it a want? The most important thing I can do today, and I have this written on my desk, this is to remind me every day. And I love, worship, and spend time with the Lord in prayer and in His Word. Give Him the first fruits of the day. I need that reminder, don't you? Because I don't always practice what I preach. And I struggle, just like you, keeping God first in my life. I want God to be first in my life. The things that are urgent should never replace the important. Think about those words. What's urgent can wait. If the most important thing in my day is to spend time with God, that can wait. I should be about seeking Him first in my life. And when we start to worry, we need to stop and pray. And I mean that seriously. If you're out in the middle of a mall, if you're wherever, driving in the car, stop what you're doing and stop what you're worrying about. Stop right there and say, God, I'm going to give this to You. I'm worrying about my finances right now. I'm worried about this job, and I'm not so sure I'm going to be able to stick with this job, and da-da-da. Release it to God. Cast your cares on Him. He cares about us. Pray. And we know this passage from Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything. Wow. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace, which is the exact opposite of anxiety, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You can't explain it. But you have a peace. The whole world is falling apart around you. You have a peace. There's problems at work, but you have a peace. There's problems in your community, but you have a peace. Why? It's because you've prayed about it and you've given it to God, and He will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding to deal with the struggles. I love Beth Moore's paraphrase. Do not be calm about anything, but in everything by dwelling on it constantly and feeling picked on by God with thoughts like, and this is the thanks I get, present your aggravations to everyone you know about but God. And the acid in your stomach, which transcends all milk products, will cause you an ulcer, and the doctor bills will cause you a heart attack, and you will lose your mind. I read this to you about a couple months ago, but I think it's very appropriate that we remind ourselves that's what worrying does. It does not accomplish anything. And this is the best piece of advice I ever got at AA. I'd go to Alcoholics Anonymous, even though I'm not an alcoholic. I was raised around alcoholics in my home. But I liked going there. You want to know why? Because the people were real. They were transparent. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Chris. It's been 1 week since I last drank. I like that. I like transparency. And I like it when people are real, don't you? Why can't we do that here? Why can't we say, you know, I'm struggling. I'm having problems. I need your prayers. We're so worried about gossip. We're so worried about people talking about our business that we convince ourselves, oh, I'm not going to share my problem. Nobody cares that they're about here. Yes, we do. God's people here care about you. We care about your life. The elders here care about what's going on. We want to pray if there's something going on in your life. Don't have all these problems, and then down the road, we suddenly find out about them. We're going to ask you, why didn't you come to us and talk to us? We're not going to crucify you. We're going to love you. We're going to help you. Stay into today, AA said. I like that, because Jesus said basically the same thing. Live in the moment. Because, oh, how we miss things when we worry. John Ortberg, minister up at Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago, says it best. And then we'll close right here. For most of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. Powerful words. So what are you worrying about today? Give it to God. And ask Him this week. Say, Lord, help me increase my faith. Help me to stop worrying so much about things. I want to be your follower. I want to be your disciple. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us for worrying so much about so many different things. Forgive us for our lack of trust in you. Help us, Father, overcome being chronic worriers. We confess to you today. Help us learn to stop and pray when we have problems. We surrender our children to you. We surrender our lives to you. We know and trust that you're in control. Help us to stay into today, to live in the moment rather than worry about the future. Father, we give up our control of our lives to you. Please help us this week to surrender more and more of us to you. Thank you for caring about our lives. Help us to put you first daily, Father. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We thank you that your eye is on the sparrow. And as that beautiful hymn said, I know that He watches over me. We thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if we can assist you in any way, through prayer or through baptism, beginning your walk with God, won't you come as we stand and we sing?